Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thanks very much, Lucy. Thank you for your welcome. It's lovely, a great privilege to open God's word with you. Can I just pray as we do that? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are not a silent God. You have spoken in your word and through Jesus. Please help us to hear that voice amongst all the other voices around today clearly, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm just going to check my pages are in the right way. One of the things my children quite like to do is shuffle my sermons. They say they're better if they're in the wrong order. But I think we're all right. So I wonder if you can remember the first time you held a baby in your arms. Yours, maybe, or maybe someone else's. Many years ago, my brother handed me his firstborn baby daughter, and I was absolutely terrified that I would drop her, particularly when he helpfully said, "Don't you dare drop her." Well, I feel a little bit like that with Psalm 23 in my hands this afternoon and for the next couple of Tuesdays, because I think Psalm 23 is probably very precious to many of us here. Perhaps it's your favourite psalm. Perhaps it's the psalm that you've learnt. Perhaps you had it read at a close friend's funeral. Perhaps it forms the basis of your favourite hymn, which may be the one we're singing in a minute, or an ancient version of that. Perhaps you think you know it so well that what could we possibly learn this afternoon together? Well, I thought I knew this psalm quite well. I've been a Christian for 43 years, and what have I missed in these six little verses? Well, the answer is plenty. There is loads here. There is a majestic divine beauty here. There is spiritual food more satisfying than any Old Testament manna or any Parliament banquet. For this is a psalm of joyful confidence. Even well, David, its royal author, appears to be in the darkest valley, or in the old translation, the valley of the shadow of death. Wouldn't that be a great take-home today, to leave here with confident joy, whatever the circumstances? To leave this place in the middle of maybe some personal, maybe even secret trauma that you're going through. Certainly we seem to be in the middle of the greatest run of terrifying headlines that I can remember in recent years. Wouldn't it be great to know that calm joy of knowing that the Lord is my shepherd? That's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for us all today. Martin Luther, the 16th century German ex-monk, said that Psalm 23 was a little Bible in itself. It is comprehensive, it is God-centered and compact, a mere 55 words in the original language. It has all we need, both for now and forever, unlike, I guess, any government or any leader anywhere. The psalm doesn't overpromise or underdeliver. So we're going to tackle it, this little treasure trove of a psalm, in three Tuesday, three bits, verses 1 to 2. This week I've entitled Provision, I Lack Nothing. Next week we're going to look at verses 3 to 4, middle of verses 4, I Will Fear No Evil, Protection. And then finally, Prosperity, of verse 6, I Will Dwell in the House of the Lord Forever. So I hope by then that this little psalm will have given us that same awestruck confidence and that we find in the question and answer in the Heidelberg Catechism. Who knows when the Heidelberg Catechism was written? 1563. A question that we're to ask in the Heidelberg Catechism is, what is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer is this, that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and death, to my Saviour, Jesus Christ. So it's worth reading Heidelberg Catechism in full. The headline and summary of the psalm is there in those first five words, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. It's, again, it's just four words in the original. And the rest of the psalm simply explains the implications of those five words. The Lord does everything in the psalm. I wonder if you notice that. He's the subject of every verb. He feeds, he leads, he refreshes, he guides, he accompanies, he prepares a banquet for us, he anoints, he overflows with goodness and love every day of our lives. I think I can overflow with goodness and love maybe once a week, but him every day of all of our lives. Isn't that lovely? And rather like Aslan, he grows as the story of the psalm develops. First of all, he's a protective and attentive shepherd. Then he morphs into a continual and constant companion. And then thirdly, he grows into a generous, eternal host. And when you see that word Lord there, the second word in capital letters, it translates the word Jehovah or Yahweh, the name that God first revealed to Moses on the mountain, meaning I am who I am, or I was who I was, or I will be who I will be, the self-sufficient, never-changing, promise-keeping God, the saving and sustaining God of the Exodus, the loving and forgiving God who died upon a cross. Jesus himself took up this name for himself, didn't he, in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And I think these first two verses just give us three little delights, three blessings, not little really, wonderful, for us to take home with us. And I'm afraid they all begin with the same letter. They are personal, they're plentiful, and they're pastoral. So first of all, personal, he is my shepherd. Not just the shepherd, not only our shepherd corporately, but also my shepherd. God is addicted to us. Steve Jobs was allegedly once asked whether he knew that iPads were addictive, and he replied, allegedly, that he wouldn't be surprised if they were, because he had designed them to be. And the Bible tells us that we are designed for personal friendship with God. God has placed eternity into our hearts. What a privilege and joy to have God as our personal friend. We're designed to be joyfully and healthily addicted to God, to know him, to be known by him and loved by him. We hear the phrase, don't we, on the box sometimes, life-changing injuries. This is life-changing information, that God wants to be our shepherd, my shepherd, the personal blessing of the Christian faith. Secondly, his blessings are plentiful. Do you see that? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I was a particularly limited schoolboy, and the old translation was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I just never understood what that meant. I shall not want what? So I'm glad that the NIV helps me all these years later. Not that God gives us all we want. Imagine getting all we want. God forbid how terrible that would be. But he does give us all we need. I lack nothing I need. In our acquisitive culture, when our televisions and phones constantly tell us that we need more than that, that we deserve more, we become less and less content and more driven. But Psalm 23 verse 1 tells us we have plenty. We have all we need in the Lord. We lack nothing. His blessings are plentiful. His words, his indwelling spirits. Millions and millions of brothers and sisters in the local and worldwide church. We have this planet. We have his blessings are plentiful and enough. And then thirdly, the shepherd's blessing is pastoral. See that in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I think, as I intimated a bit earlier on, the first 14 years of my life, we farmed chickens, and then my mother remarried after my father died, and we moved to a cattle and sheep farm. We had lots of cattle in Dorset on the wet hills of West Dorset, and a few wayward sheep. Let me tell you what I learned in those years about sheep. They're skittish. They're a little bit daft. They often follow each other aimlessly. They're prone to all sorts of disease. But they fiercely love and guard their babies. They need to be led and fed and guarded and guided. And they're not the best at organising themselves. Sound quite like us, don't they? The Lord is my shepherd who provides pastoral blessings. See that verse 2a, green pastures. Verse 2b, quiet waters. They are what we need, and they're all we need. One little detail in here, it's very rare to see a sheep lying down. The author David, who himself was a shepherd, wants us to know today that the divine shepherd, the title Jesus took for himself, is all we need. We can lie down happily, contentedly, safely, knowing that he's beside us, knowing that he's within us, in front of us, and behind us, every step of our way. Both when we're next to the still waters of life and when we're walking through the darkest valley. So I hope you see that these are precious, life-changing truths for us to hold as preciously as you hold a baby. Holding a baby changes your life, doesn't it? These truths, I hope, change our lives too. Let me pray. Lord, thank you that you have told us that you are our shepherd. Thank you that your son told us that he was the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. We thank you for the dignity and worth and joy those truths bring us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.